Hey guys, welcome to episode 64 of the Simply Chrissy podcast. This is your girl Chrissy coming to you once again with more goodness. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you, and I hope that you're doing well. Before we get into the main episode, just a reminder to check out simplychrissyblog.com for written nuggets of gold. Follow this podcast, share it, because sharing is caring, and tune in every Monday and Thursday for new episodes. And now, on to the main podcast episode. Today I'm going to be talking to you and giving you some gems, some tips about navigating food allergies specifically. There's all kinds of different allergies that have nothing to do with food, but I'm going to talk to you specifically about food allergies for now, because I know a thing or two about that. A little bit of data on food allergies. So approximately 32 million people in the United States have food allergies. Approximately 3 million Canadians have food allergies, and approximately 2 million people in the UK have food allergies. So there's definitely enough people in the world who have food allergies, and the way that you can also tell this for yourself is the next time you go grocery shopping, pick up a product, and you're going to see, look at the label. And when you look on the side where the nutrition facts are and the ingredients are printed, you're going to see allergen labeling. Because if companies don't put allergen labeling on their products, their product could quite possibly make somebody sick or kill them, and then that's a lawsuit. So food allergies are quite, a lot of people have them. So just some basic things. If you suspect that you or anybody you know, your mom, your dad, your sister, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your kids, your husband, etc., has food allergies, what you need to do is go to your general practitioner and ask to be referred to an allergy specialist. And then the allergy specialist will run tests on you. They will do either a panel of allergens on your forearm, or they'll do a massive one on your back. I've had the one done on my back. And typically what happens is they just grid your back. They put somebody writes on your back, like the medical person putting it on your back. They prick your skin and they put a whole bunch of different allergens, like drops of allergens on your back, and it's all coded, and they match it to a list that they have on, like, say a clipboard or something like that. And then they leave you for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then your most severe allergies will have the worst eruptions on your back. Or, like I said, if you get them on your forearm. And then from that, they will be able to differentiate between what sets your body off and what you're most allergic to versus, you know, something that's like mid-level versus very minimal or even nothing at all. And then from there, depending on what you find out from your allergen testing or your allergy testing, if you have more serious allergies, you would want to get a medical alert bracelet, because if something happens to you, you go traveling, you get into a car accident, you get into a skiing accident, you have a snorkeling accident, I have no idea, skydiving accident, I have no idea, and you're, for some reason, you're not able to advocate for yourself and tell people, hey, don't touch me with latex gloves because I'm allergic. Or I think a lot of medical places have done away with that because a lot of people have latex allergies. But still, if for some reason you're not able to advocate for yourself, they can look at your medical alert bracelet and then they'll know how to act accordingly from what the information that they get from your medical alert bracelet. Because the allergy screening that you get is not only for food, it's for everything. It is for food, it is for the environment, it is for animals, it is for dust, it is for, like, everything. It's like a full-on allergy test, and then those are the things, if you were to get, like, a medical alert bracelet, for example, that would be when you go and you get one, that's the information that you need to give them so that they can print it on your medical alert bracelet, and then you'll just have that on your person all the time, wearing it, hopefully. Some people don't, but you'd be wearing it, and so you'll have that information readily available, especially if you're not able to advocate for yourself and let a paramedic or a doctor or somebody know that, hey, actually, I'm allergic to such and such a medication, so do not give me this medication, because, you know, it could either kill you or it could give you a severe allergic reaction. And, you know, you just don't want to be dealing with additional bodily trauma that might have come from an allergic reaction. And then a doctor puts, for an example, a medication that you might be allergic to into your body that just is a double whammy. That's just an absolute nightmare. You know what I mean? And yes, people are allergic to medications and pharmaceuticals. They don't agree with people all the time. From there, now I'm going to specifically move on to some tips for you to keep in mind for navigating food allergies. And of course, if you personally do not have food allergies, I'm sure that you know somebody who has food allergies, because a lot of people have them. And definitely the most common food allergies is what most people have. So then you can pass this along, right? Or whether you pass along this podcast episode or you let people know what you've learned, you can definitely help people. Because I know for a fact, especially with I once worked at a job where I used to talk to parents who would always be asking about what is in certain foods, and they would always be panicking and freaking out because they just found out that their child has food allergies and they can't eat this and they can't eat that and they don't know what to feed their kid, and then they're super paranoid about the foods that they buy. And so there's, I know for a fact, because I would talk to a lot of parents. So hopefully this information is helpful. So the first thing that people need to understand is that if you have a lot of food allergies, you need to understand that cooking your own food is the best line of defense against having an allergic reaction. Because when you cook your own food, not only is it the healthiest, typically, but you know what's in the food that you just made. And you never need to worry about the potential of cross-contamination happening, which is a massive factor. When you go and you eat out, you order food in, buying food from the grocery store. That's why, again, the next time you go grocery shopping, even if you don't have food allergies, just test what I'm telling you. The next time you go grocery shopping, look at the products that you're buying, pick up a box of whatever or a container of something, read the ingredients. You're going to see a contain statement and a may contain. It may say, like, let's say it's something with dairy in it. It'll say contains dairy. And then, but let's say there's no soy in it. But if it's cross-contaminated in the facility where the item was made, if it was cross-contaminated with another product that happened to be contained soy, if it happened to be cross-contaminated with that, the company who printed the product that has dairy in it, now they have to write, may contain soy. That's why you see those statements on a bunch of products, because they're basically trying to tell you that the item was cross-contaminated. So although that's not an ingredient that is a main ingredient in that product, the fact that another product was produced on the same line, there's remnants of that other product, and now it's gotten into the product that you bought. And so they're just trying to tell you, hey, just trying to let you know, this product may contain, in the example I just said, soy. So if you have a problem with soy, depending on how sensitive you are, you may not want to buy this product. Next, which I kind of already touched on, be careful when you're eating out or ordering in. Not all places take food allergies seriously, although they should, because if they make somebody sick or somebody dies, that is a lawsuit. And that's enough to clean out. It's already bad enough for like a large chain of restaurants, but for a mom and pop, you could literally shut down. You could ruin a restaurateur's life. A mom and pop restaurant, you would ruin their life. Absolutely get shut down. Somebody dies because somebody had a food allergy and had an allergic reaction and died as a result of eating their food. Number one, the worst publicity. How do you ever get over that? And then, yeah, you would just get sued. So, from what I know, most people don't want to get sued. So, I don't know why, you know, more restaurants don't take it seriously. So there's that. They don't take food allergies seriously enough, and there's also a lot of cross-contamination that you have zero control over. So again, similar to what happens in manufacturing facilities with products that are sold in grocery stores, it's the same thing when you go to a restaurant in terms of the cooking utensils that are used and shared. You know, they fry French fries in the fryer, but they may also fry shrimp or calamari. So for somebody who has seafood allergies or fish, are allergic to fish or shellfish, they can taste the fish or shellfish. They can taste the shrimp or the calamari on their French fries. So it's not necessarily always a fishy taste, but the actual allergic reaction that starts to happen in your mouth, because this has happened to me, so that I'm telling you from experience. The actual allergic reaction that starts to happen in your mouth, which is a burning sensation, that is what starts to happen in your mouth, because a person who is highly allergic to a food is no different than a shark in an ocean that can sense and taste a drop of blood. It's the same thing. We can spot a speck of an allergen when we are extremely allergic to it. It's actually incredible. So you just want to keep that in mind. And know that restaurants and things can also be very negligent as well. Like, let's say you're allergic to carrots and you get a salad and you say no carrots, but they put carrots on your salad. Instead of, depending on how bad your allergy is, you know, you're going to act according to whatever your situation is. But just for this example, if you're allergic to carrots, instead of a restaurant replacing your salad and giving you a new one that has no carrots, they will literally, because I've seen this happen, because this happened to me, they will literally just pick off the carrots and then give you back the same thing. Like, it's all good, but it's not. Because you can still see the little shards of carrots in the salad, and you're like, what's wrong with these people? So you just really want to be aware, and you really have to do your own due diligence. Nobody's going to care more about your food allergies or your health more than you. And if all else fails, if you're not sure, when in doubt, don't. If you're not sure about the food you're going to be eating, the place you want to go eat at, the place you want to order from, just don't do it. Because I'm telling you, depending on how bad your food, allergic reaction is, to food that you eat, you're honestly, it's not even worth how sick you can get. It's not worth the torture. So you're honestly better off just don't have the food. Just find a better option. Lastly, you want to be aware that 99% of products sold in grocery stores So manufactured products. I'm not talking about fresh produce. I'm talking about manufactured products in packages of some sort. So just know that 99% of products sold at stores, at grocery stores, are not made in a dedicated facility. And if a product is made in a dedicated facility, it will be printed on the packaging because that is a selling point for that brand and company. And a dedicated facility, for example, is one of my favorite food allergy friendly brands. It's called Enjoy Life. Really good brand, highly recommend it. You know, Google them, check them out on Instagram, Facebook, or their website. It's called Enjoy Life Foods. So it's spelled ENJOYLIFEFOODS.CA. And yeah, so they're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. So, and yeah, so this brand, it's a food allergy safe brand. And I'm actually reading the packaging to you right now. So their brands are free from gluten and wheat, peanuts, tree nuts, milk, casein, soy, egg, sesame, sulfites, lupine, mustard, fish, shellfish, and crustaceans. Their products are also non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, as I already mentioned, and it's Perev. Perev? Sorry if I'm butchering that, friends, but it's, yeah, it's Perev. Perev. So this is a good brand for, actually, this is a good brand not only for people who have food allergies, but this is also a good brand for people who are vegan or people who are eating in a vegan manner, and even people who are eating in a plant-based manner, because like I said, there is no milk, there's no eggs, there's no shellfish, crustaceans, fish. So it's really good for, it fits the lifestyle of a lot of people. And again, that brand is called Enjoy Life. And so that's a good example of a brand that is food allergy friendly. And I also wanted to point out the biggest thing is on the side of the box that says the nutrition facts, it specifically says immediately underneath the ingredients, it is made in a dedicated nut and gluten-free facility. So that is what I mean when I say a dedicated facility. And what that means is a dedicated nut and gluten-free facility means that the facility that they use is not producing any products that have gluten in it or any nuts. So yeah, because again, when I was talking about like those parents that were freaking out about their children having food allergies, they would always be asking, you know, is such and such made in a dedicated facility? Such and such made in a dedicated facility, like certain foods and stuff like that. And the answer is no, because again, if a product is made in a dedicated facility, it will say it on the packaging, point blank, period. And so because there is the absence of that statement on 99% of products that you find in the grocery store, that's because it's not made in a dedicated facility. Like, these large corporations don't care and don't have the energy or time when they're printing out millions and millions and millions of products per week. They don't have time or they don't care to be going through the extra work to be sending stuff off to a dedicated facility. That's not what that brand is. It's not. This is a specialty brand. Enjoy Life is a specialty brand that caters to people with food allergies or any of the other variables I mentioned. Maybe somebody is plant-based. Maybe somebody just has a gluten intolerance. Maybe somebody is vegan. So this is a brand that's suitable for those people, or even a regular person who eats traditional food, you know, like traditional meat and all that kind of stuff. Maybe they just want to have a healthier or like a different snack, so to speak, you know? So it's suitable for anybody who fits under that umbrella. Lastly, when you are buying products from the grocery store, make sure that you do pay attention to the label, read the ingredients, pay attention to any of the allergen labeling, pay attention to the contains statement. So contains is basically you have the list of ingredients, and then underneath the ingredients, it's going to immediately say in bold, it's going to say contains such and such a allergen. So if the main ingredients contains milk, because milk is one of the top 8 allergens, it's going to emphasize in the contains statement in bold, it's going to say contains milk. And then in the may contains statement, even though the main ingredients may not contain sesame seeds or sesame, if it's made in a facility where there is another product that's being made with sesame, it's going to cross-contaminate the product that you're buying. So therefore, it's going to have a may contain statement that's going to say may contains sesame or may contain mustard, because it's not a main ingredient in the product, but it was just that facility made a different product that has sesame in it or mustard or something. So even though they may have, you know, cleaned off the machine, there's still cross-contamination, and that's what's in your product. Okay, that is it, friends. I hope that those tips were helpful to you for navigating not only food allergies, but also like if you're having any issues with, you know, environmental allergies, you know, you're allergic to to pets, cats, dogs, rabbits, you're allergic to grass, trees, wasp bites, wasp stings, bee stings, mosquito bites. Lots of people are allergic to mosquito bites, bee stings, wasps. You know, you're allergic to certain medications, just all kinds of stuff. There's just so many different things that people can be allergic to. And I also wanted to say in closing, at the end of the day, there's like a spectrum of how much an allergy is. Nothing more than is just something is not agreeing with your body. So although I'm being technical, you know, oh yeah, you can go get tested and get, you know, have like the allergy test panel done on you, and they'll test to see. At the end of the day, if you tune into your body, you'll be able to tell what agrees with your body versus not. Because honestly, at the end of the day, that's what an allergy is. It's something that doesn't agree with your body on some level, whether it is severe or it is mild. Something doesn't agree with your body. There's people who are allergic to alcohol. There's people who are allergic to weed. There's people who are allergic to all kinds of stuff. MSG, additives and food additives, preservatives. There's like so many different things, you know, and all these things would be added to a medical alert bracelet, by the way. But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, it's like, even like, if you tap into yourself and you just feel, wow, I feel like crap after I eat like dairy, or after I eat dairy, you know, like I get bloated, or I get the runs, or I eat gluten and I get constipated, or I eat gluten and I get the runs. It happens. It affects people differently. Or I play with my cat and my eyes are tearing and my nose is running. I play with my dog. I start sneezing. I take this medication. My head starts spinning. I'm dizzy. I want to pass out. I drink alcohol and my face turns red. What else happens to people? Just like all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, if you tap into your body, if you eat dairy, and also a common thing with people with dairy, a lot of people eat dairy and it causes mucus to form in their throats. That is a typical thing that tends to happen with people, which is why a lot of singers fun fact, a lot of singers, of course, this is pre-pandemic. A lot of singers, when they would go on tour or even people who would perform on Broadway, they would have to stay off of having any dairy because it causes mucus to accumulate in their throats and it screws up their singing performance. Google it. So that's even an intolerance. You shouldn't be eating food and then all of a sudden you get a accumulation of mucus in your throat. You start clearing your throat, you get phlegm, you got to spit stuff up all of a sudden just because you're eating dairy, you know? Even some people have different allergies too. A really great example is like some people when they eat certain kinds of nuts like Brazil nuts, it's going to cause them joint pain. But if you don't pay attention to what you eat, you're never going to understand that it's the nut causing the joint pain. And if you would just stop eating it, the joint pain would go away. That actually happened to my mom. She ate a Brazil nut or some Brazil nuts and she noticed it gave her excruciating joint pain. The second she stopped eating it, the pain went away. But the funny thing is, how many people don't pay attention to what they eat? They get excruciating pain as a result of something that they eat. Now they go to the doctor for joint pain. Maybe the doctor might erroneously diagnose them with, say, arthritis or some kind of joint problem. Oh, you're going to have to get your hip replaced. Now you're going to have to get some kind of surgery. Do you know what I mean? When all along, the problem was what you were eating. And if you just removed the thing that you were eating, which was causing the problem, people wouldn't have to go on to such severe ways to potentially rectify the problem. But if you still keep on eating the thing that's causing the pain in your joints, there's no surgery that's going to help you. But I'm just, you know, giving examples. Different things affect people differently. So just keep that in mind. It's not just about getting an allergic reaction on your skin or a rash like around your mouth or a swelling mouth or difficulty swallowing or your spit thickening or congestion, runny eyes, all the different types of things that happen to people when they have allergic reactions. It's also about stuff that's not as obvious. Joint pain, swelling in your hands, you know, you get swelling man hands, you know, no offense if you're a man listening to this, but you get swelling man hands when you eat pepperoni, for example. That's a real thing. When you eat gluten, you get a massive bloated belly, you know. I think what do they call that, like gluten belly. Anyway, for people who are fitness enthusiasts, you'll never have a flat stomach if, number one, you're constipated, number two, you're bloated from having foods such as gluten and dairy if it doesn't agree with your body. So just keep that in mind. You can do all the crunches and all of the core exercises and all of the, you know, weight training that you want to do. And all drinking all the water is not going to do anything if the things that you're putting in your body are causing you to be bloated. And then also constipated too. Because you're having a negative reaction in your digestive system. Anyway, that's it. So, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 64 of the Simply Chrissy podcast. I appreciate you as always. Remember to check out the blog, follow this podcast, and tune in once again, every Monday and Thursday. And that's it. That's it, my friends. Thank you so much. Much love. Take care of yourself. Love and light. Check you later.